Television is beginning to influence children's prayers. A mother wrote to us not very long ago. She was hearing the night prayers of her little child, and the child ended up the Apostles' Creed by saying, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life is worth living. Amen." I can see that you know the creed. A few years ago, I was down south, and I was passing along a road where there were a number of prisoners working from the nearby penitentiary. And they were doing that sort of thing which prisoners are so wont to do, namely pound big rocks until they become little rocks. And I watched them for a while, and I said to them, "I wish I could do with hearts what you do with rocks." And one of them said, "Did you ever try working on your knees?" I do not know how many Americans there are who work on their knees. The American loves speed. You know, he is the only one in the world who ever thought of inventing a rocking chair, because you can go places at the same time you're resting. We thought possibly it might be well for the American audience to hear something about taking a little rest in order to contact power for one's soul. Have you ever noticed that hardly anything in this world lives by itself? Even coal needs oxygen to burn. Fish need water. Birds need the air. Plants are in communion with the sun. It's 92 million miles away from the earth. And the animals, they need contact with the chemical order, with the sun, with plant life. And man's mind. Man's mind is just like this blackboard. It has nothing on it when we're born. And it's only through contact with the outside world, by taking in something through the senses, that we ever get ideas. Therefore, we are not creators of energy. We are merely transformers of energy. And it's a simple lesson in dynamism. All the power that we expend is due to power that we take in. Now, should not our soul have some energy? It needs its environment, too. And it needs an environment of perfect life and truth and love and beauty and goodness and holiness. And that environment is God. And how do we contact that energy? We contact it by prayer. There are some people in the world who are blind. They are dead to the great environment of sound. For example, the laughter of a child, the sigh of a waterfall. There are others in the world who are dead. They're dead to the environment, rather blind. They're dead to the great environment of a sunset, the first spring flower. Then there are others who are deity blind. They never contact this great thesaurus and treasure of energy and power that there is above us. And the result is that they're always breathing in the same air that they breathe out. That is why an atheist has well been defined as a man who has no invisible means of support. One of the reasons why we're unhappy in this world is because, actually, our bodies are going too fast. This is a body. This is the body of a man in motion. And here's the soul of the man. Now, our bodies are going so fast that our poor souls haven't got time to catch up with us. The result is that we've lost all contact with this energy that could give us peace and happiness. I'll let my little angel erase that now. You know, politicians talk through their hats, but my angel talks through his halo. One of the great differences between The contacts of energy for our body and the contact of energy for our mind is this, that the contact of energy for the body is automatic. It's much more easier for us to breathe than it is to hold our breath. You know about the little boy who said, if you don't give me that candy, I'll hold my breath till I get red in the face. But contact with God through prayer is conditional. It's free. It's not forced upon us. And we receive certain gifts only on condition that we ask for them. For example, at this particular moment, you're floating through this theater. There's music. There's the comedy of Milton Berle. There are political discussions. There's soap operas. And you're not getting a one of them. Why? Well, because you're not tuned in. So, too, there's all kinds of divine energy that is floating through this world. Many are not receiving it because they have not willed to tune in. And they miss it. There are millions and millions of favors hanging from heaven on silken cords. And prayer is the sword that cuts them. Ask, you shall receive, but we have to ask. Seek, and you shall find. You have to seek. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You have to knock. Did you ever see that painting of Holman Hunt? It's a picture of our blessed Lord at an ivy-covered door. He has a lantern in his hand. He's knocking at the door. Holman Hunt was criticized for that picture. And it was said that he had no latch on the outside of the door. Holman Hunt said, of course not. The latch is on the inside. We alone open it. That's our opportunity, but we have to ask. So we have to put ourselves in this environment of divine life. And we do that by this free act of prayer. See what a difference it makes. Now here, this is a little waif, a little orphan, homeless girl, maybe someplace in Europe. Here she is on the street, and I signify the street. This is a lamppost. To an alcoholic, that looks like the Saturday evening post. Now, here's another little girl in a very happy home. This is a house, a home. And this is a transparent home. And here's our little girl in here, very, very happy, and her father and her mother and so on, in the house. This little girl does not have food, clothing, shelter, and affection. This little girl has all of those things. And why? Because this girl here is in an environment of love, which this one is not. Now, there are many people in the world who do not place themselves in this environment of love and power and beauty and strength, and the result is that they do not have the blessings that others have. They're like this poor little waif. Take, for example, those who are raising families. They say, oh, well, I could not afford to send my child to college. And they're judging themselves solely by the bank account. If they put themselves in the environment of divine love every now and then they would receive blessings which presently they are denied. You do not trust those who do not trust you. Just as soon as you trust, love people and show affection, they begin to give you favors and blessings. So it is with the good Lord. You say you have distractions?
Well.
St. Bernard had a friend once who told him that he never had distractions in prayer. St. Bernard said, I always have them. They were out horseback riding. St. Bernard said, I tell you what I will do. I will give you this horse if you can say the Our Father without distraction. Now get off your horse and say the Our Father. So, He got up to the words, "Give us this day our daily bread." And he looked up at St. Bernard and he said, "Can I have the saddle too?" Now we'll speak of various kinds and forms of prayer by which we contact this energy. One would be petition. Another would be something that is very seldom understood, namely worship. And the third would be the prayer of action. First of all, petition. Petition is asking favors. I know of a sick man who was brought into a hospital once, and he hadn't prayed for about 30 years, and he said to the good nun in charge, he said, "I haven't prayed for 30 years, sister, pray for me." She says, "Pray for yourself." She says, "Sometimes a strange voice is the one most quickly heard." Now we should ask Almighty God for favors. And he will give them to us, provided they are best for our soul as well as for our body. But we must not think that when we ask for anything, we are trying to change the will of God. That is not prayer, petition, or any other kind of prayer. Here's a father in a family. He has a son whom he wishes to send to college. During high school day, boy becomes recalcitrant, disobedient, steals, has a police record, becomes a juvenile delinquent, sent to reform school. Has the father changed his will about sending him to college? No, the father still wills it. But why doesn't the boy go to college then if the father wills it? Because the boy has not fulfilled those conditions which were necessary for the father giving him a college education. Prayer then, instead of changing the will of God, actually places us in that environment which makes it possible for God to give us things that otherwise it would be impossible to give. Now, for example, if my father had a Stradivarius violin, which he didn't have, he might have wished that I would have been a violinist or a musician. Did you ever hear me sing? Well, with all the good intentions of the world, there'd be no point in giving me a Stradivarius violin. Simply not deserving of that particular kind of gift. While petition is a legitimate form of prayer, it is not the full nature of prayer. But let me tell you, however, of a particular example of petition. Normally, priests were ordained about the age of 24. I was mentally retarded. I was ordained at 24, but they sent me to school for 5 more years. So here I was studying at the University of Louvain in Belgium until I was 29 years of age. Those 6 years in the third grade sure set me back. And I was studying medicine, studying philosophy at the University of Louvain. And I wanted to go to Lourdes. You know Lourdes, you saw the movie maybe, The Song of Bernadette, read Werfel's book. Those of you who have the faith know Lourdes very well. And I wished to go to Lourdes to celebrate the 5th anniversary of my ordination. I had just enough money to go to Lourdes, but not enough to live on once I arrived. And I asked my brother, who was studying medicine at the University of Louvain, if I'll not make a plug now about him, where he is or where his office is, anything of that kind. He'll shoot me for it. He missed a great opportunity, but we'll let it pass. So he was studying medicine at the University of Louvain, and I asked him if he had any money, and he was a typical university student, too. And I said, well, if I have faith enough to go to Lourdes to celebrate the 5th anniversary of my ordination, it's up to the Blessed Mother to get me out. So I went to Lourdes. I arrived broke. And I decided that if the Blessed Mother was going to pay my hotel bill, she could just as well pay a big one as a little one. So I went to the best hotel in Lourdes. It was a fourth-rate hotel by our standards, but at any rate, it was the best there. 6 days, I got my bill. I had visions of gendarmes, French police, jails. I stuck it out because the novena was 9 days of prayer. Waiting for the ninth day, I went down in the morning, nothing happened. The ninth noon, nothing happened. The ninth evening, nothing happened, and it was serious. So I thought I'd give the Blessed Mother another chance. I went down to the grotto about 10:30. As I was saying the rosary, a portly gentleman tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "Are you an American priest?"
"Yes."
"You speak French?"
"Yes."
"You know Paris?"
"Yes."
"Well, I'm Mr. So-and-so of New York. This is my son, my daughter, my wife." So we walked back to the hotel together. And he said, "We want you to come to Paris with us and tomorrow and talk French for us." He said, "Have you paid your hotel bill yet?" That was the most interesting question I ever had. So I out-fumbled him for the bill. One of those not too rare moments in life where the grasp does not exceed the reach. And we went to Paris, stayed there a week with him, and he said at the end of the week, "I will give you my address in New York." Said, "You can call on us when you come back. Do you mind taking it at the bottom of a check?" And I said, "Not particularly." So I arrived back in Louvain with much more than I started with. And then when I came back to America, we went back again to Lourdes 2 times together to thank the Blessed Mother for introducing us one to another. Now, the moral of this story is for you people that live in Peoria not to come to the Waldorf and expect the Blessed Mother to pay bills there. But pray for something worthwhile spiritually and you will receive it. And as Dr. Alexis Carroll says, great strength for your mind, power for your body. He calls it physical stamina. Better understanding of the world, and then, of course, a great inner peace because you're in contact. All of this infinite power and mercy and love. Now, in addition to petition, there's also worship. People can't understand worship or praise. They said, "What is God who wants praise? Isn't he kind of a potentate sitting on a throne? Very unhappy and miserable when we do not pay him some adulation." No, God does not need praise. We need it. Many an American home this spring, little girls about 3 and 4 years of age are going out into the garden, and they're going to bring in from the garden bouquets and bunches of dandelions, and they're going to give them to the mother. And it's going to be a little difficulty for the mother. She'll have to get a vase for dandelions, vases for flowers. She has to get a vase for the dandelions, and she has to put them in the parlor. She expresses gratitude to the child. Does the mother need the dandelions? She doesn't need them. Does the child need to give them? Certainly. Why? Because the child is being trained in love and kindness and mercy and goodness. That's why the child has to give them. Otherwise, she would be wanting in affection. Wanting in obedience. God does not need our praise. We need it. What is worship? Worship is something that's worthful. We're enthusiastic about an athlete. We praise him. I wonder if husbands ever praise wives if they've been married for 18 years. Do you know that in 18 years, your wife has prepared 19,710 meals? And then, now, for example, at the end of this television program, there's going to be a great burst of applause. And why? Why will there be a great burst of applause? It is because you will have heard something that was transcendentally superior. You will have heard something that was beyond all competition. You will have heard something the like of which is not given on any other television program. You will have heard something that delights every father in the United States, that thrills every mother, that pleases every child, namely, a commercial about an Admiral refrigerator. Oh, I only have 1 minute. 2 minutes. To talk to you about action. But every little action that we have can be turned into a prayer. For example, the men working these booms, lights, cameras, angels, stenographers, taxi drivers, sword diggers, everything. Everything can be made of prayer. Provided we offer it up in the name of the good Lord. That's praying while we work. Down in the gutter of a city street, there's a drop of water. Soiled, dirty and stagnant. Way up in the heavens, a gentle sunbeam saw it. Leap from out the azure sky. Down to the drop. Kissed it. Thrilled it through and through. With new strange lives and hopes. And lifted it up. Higher and higher and higher. Beyond the clouds. And one day left it as a flake of immaculate snow. On a mountaintop. So our own humdrum, routine, workaday lives, in the pantry, in the school, in the office, on the farm, in the machine shop, all of these can be lifted up into the spiritualization of our lives, provided we bring to them the inspiration of someone with our apostolic zeal in thought, provided we bring to them the inspiration of a captain bearing 5 wounds in the forefront of battle. Provided we bring to them the fixed flash of that instant and intolerant enlightenment, the lightning made eternal as a light. Now, and God love you.